Well, yeah, I mean, it is in the same line as the brethren are bringing us into. But let me put it this way. There was one king of old by the name of Uzziah. Mm-hmm. He wanted to take the place of Christ Jesus by being a king and priest and sit upon the throne. Mm-hmm. And he was hit with the leprosy. Mm-hmm. It cannot happen, brethren. It cannot happen. He wanted to take the place of Christ. God will never allow it. So he wanted to. He was hit with leprosy. There is one in Zechariah chapter 6 that sits upon the throne as king and priest. But I want to say something about the priesthood now in that coming day. It doesn't seem to me that that priesthood is in relationship with intercession anymore. Not in relation to interceding to his own. Because it's going to be a scene where he is going to rule in righteousness and in peace. His own are not going to need the intercession. But he's going to sit as a priest to somehow, it's like the minister of the sanctuary. When he worships, he brings things to God. So when he sits as a priest in that coming scene, he's going to secure glory for God. And that's what the priest does. So that in a coming day, it's not going to be a matter of interceding for you and for me. That was finished, done with. But when he sits upon the throne, it is to secure everything for the glory and the delight of God himself. And that's why he remains a priest forever. Why is it forever? In heaven, do we need intercession? No more intercession. Do we need somebody to succor and help with our weaknesses? God forbid, no weaknesses. But he remains a priest forever, because for the endless ages of eternity, he will ever remain the leader of the praise, where he will bring the minister of the sanctuary worship before God and Father.
Mm-hmm. But Brother John, in that same verse that you refer to, we see him also as the prophet. It's very interesting to see in Zechariah 6 verse 13, so we first have the king who will bear the glory and sit and rule upon his throne. He shall be the priest, as Brother John just mentioned, that is the priest in display, the true Melchizedek. But then it says, and the council of peace shall be between them both. There you have the prophet. He always will express God's mind. He always will be the prophet. And so there's just a suggestion that you see how the three go together. You can't separate them. And what we saw earlier this morning, you find time-wise, as far as dispensation is concerned, you find an order. First the prophet, then the priest, then the king. But of course, morally, before God, he is all at the same time. You cannot separate the one from the other. One more thing in connection is righteousness. It's interesting that today, righteousness reigns in grace, or grace, excuse me, grace reigns, has a rule, and it is righteous, in connection with righteousness. We talked earlier about being in tune with the rights of God. Today, you can be in tune with the rights of God in grace. God had made the provisions. Now, when we are talking about this rule, this coming rule of the Lord Jesus, that the righteousness will be on full display, that is the great Melchizedek, righteousness and peace, then righteousness will be enforced. There will be no way that someone can resist that righteousness. That king cannot be resisted. He will put down every resistance. But when it comes to the eternal state, and in that sense the rule will continue, not to be enforced in the eternal state. We see in 2 Peter 3 that it says, then righteousness will dwell. Everything will be in full harmony with God. No need for enforcement anymore. But it's still the same rule. Everything will be in tune with God. So it's good for us to see how all these three elements are always together, but that there is, as far as time is concerned, there is an order.
One other example of a man who tried to be both priest and king is Saul.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And he didn't wait for Samuel. He offered up sacrifices. What is this bleeding I hear? Samuel had to say. And it was at that time his kingdom was going to be removed from him.
So in the last 2 minutes that we have,
how do we respond to the one who is eternally a king, the one who has come in lowly guise, the one who has been despised and rejected, but exalted and crowned by God, the one who is going to come and establish a rule of righteousness in the earth, where the knowledge of him shall cover the earth as the waters cover the sea. What's my response to him? Do I give him and afford him the recognition that he by rights deserves? Does he have that place in my thinking, in my thoughts, in my life? Do I look forward and anticipate a day when he's going to set things right in the earth? You know, we look around and we look at the conditions in the world, and you know, they're pretty bad. They're pretty bad. When he comes, he sets all things right. And that gives us the strength to go on. We don't get despair. We don't have we don't get lost in despair as to how bad things are and how bad things, because we know that God is writing the history. And he has told us what he's doing. He is going to set his king on his holy hill. He is going to bring into this very world that rejected him the conditions in which his domination, his dominion will be seen. And then ultimately, the real intent is that he will deliver that kingdom up to God, that God might be all in all, where righteousness shall dwell, and all will be according to the mind of God. So what does that do for me? It gives me hope. I don't get bent out of shape by the way conditions are. I desire, with the help of the Holy Spirit, that I live in a way of righteousness and peace and joy. We need joy, brethren. That's really the response to the King. It's joy. You know, what does it say? How are thy servants, when it came to Solomon, and she swore, your servants, as they ascend, as they descend. Why? They recognize the greatness of Solomon, and their reaction and their response was they served with gladness. There was joy. Mm-hmm. Brethren, we can use a little joy, and how we get that joy is we are reminded of the King. Mm-hmm. We see the King, and we see him in all of his majesty and all of his glory when the world doesn't see it, and then when it comes to pass, we are enjoying it because we've already anticipated it. That's what it says of Abraham. He looked and saw what was invisible. He looked and saw. And we in our mind's eye need to look and to see a day when things will be set right for the glory of God, and have confidence in the one whom God put his confidence in, the Lord Jesus the King. Thank you.